I'm Dr. Rankin Skinner, and I do not have a personal financial relationship to disclose. Why would we bring a preventive dental program from Ecuador, which is a third world country, to Kentucky? You see the results here. This is from the Ministry of Health. After our five-year program there, we had a 50 to 78% drop in decay, and we'll talk about that program just a little bit later. But let's start at the beginning. I got out of the Navy in 1971 and went into general practice in Winchester, Kentucky at that time, and became involved with international volunteerism immediately. I worked in Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, Jamaica, and I was in Haiti for 11 years. In Haiti, we did thousands and thousands and thousands of extractions. And this was pre-AIDS, okay? So anyway, the HIV virus came along, and that was a bad boy. We all know that. And I decided at that time that I couldn't take a chance on transmitting that virus. The sterile techniques weren't all that great. And I decided I'm out of this extraction game. I joined Partners of the Americas. It was started by President John Kennedy as an exchange to foster international relations and understanding. And so my wife and I were project directors on 55 major programs in sports and culture. And we did that for several years, and for 26 years, basically. And we always noticed the unbelievable dental needs of the children in Ecuador. And my wife kept saying, you know, we're in the dental field. We need to start doing something in dentistry, get out of culture and sports. And I was thinking, well, you know, in sports, you're bringing the youth in, right? And so finally, she prodded me in 2001. I had a meeting with the Ministry of Health, and I said, I want to start a preventive dental program here. What's your suggestion? Nobody was doing sealants there in 2002. We started our program. Our program was we worked with 30 clinics, 15 of those in the capital city of Quito, 15 of those in our sister city, which is Ibarra, up near the Colombian border and surrounding area, which is all indigenous peoples. All the clinics were responsible for four or five schools, and all the kids in that school. We had 40,000 kids in that program. We trained everybody in placing the sealants. They didn't, of course, have curing lights, so we had to provide those. My wife and I provided all the material for this five-year program. And my first school visit was in a little Indian school up in the high mountains on a mountain called Imbambura, which is the mother mountain for the indigenous people in that area. And the school director came to me and said, listen, we cannot meet this mandate. I said, what mandate? He said, well, Ministry of Health says we got to have a brushing mandate. He said, the parents here are all indigenous farmers. I have 120 kids, and there's not one toothbrush here in this community. And we realized we'd put the cart before the horse. We're doing sealants to prevent decay, and yet we weren't giving them the tools to take care of their teeth. So we had to go back and add toothbrushes in there. If they didn't have toothbrushes, what else? Well, we knew they didn't know anything about oral health. So we instituted a caries prevention educational model into the schools. We had the schools manage their in-school toothbrushing program. And the indigenous people and the Afro-Ecuadorians do not have any trust in the government whatsoever. So we had this task of building a rapport between the government dentists we were working with, there's 65 of those people, and the students, parents, and the teachers. And so we had this, one of the teachers came up with a brilliant idea, and I think it's just brilliant. They said, why don't we just have a little party every month? We'll get the kids to do a play, we'll get them to sing songs, and they'll all be about oral health. And so then we'll bring the dentist in and talk about oral health. So we'll use the kids to educate the parents, and that's exactly what we did. It was so successful, we used it in all of our school programs. And we gave the parents new roles. Even though they weren't educated, we said, listen, we want you to manage your toothbrushing at home, and we want you to do the recall. Well, wait a minute, what recall? Well, we told the parents, sealants come off sometimes. We want you to get into the government clinic every 6 months and have them checked. And of course, our goal was to get them into the clinic, right? So whenever they came into the clinic, they got a cleaning, they got a fluoride treatment, and any operative needs, they got them done that day. For the very first time, indigenous children were getting fillings in the clinics. Where did the toothbrushes come from? We didn't plan on that. You know, we were paying for all the dental materials. This was something, our kids are out of college. This is something we wanted to do, but toothbrushes were something else. So we went to the companies and we got some donations. We got some support. We raised a little money to do it. But then my patients and my friends came through. And we had one family gave us 30,000 toothbrushes. So we went in with 40,000 toothbrushes at one time. We had to distribute those. Well, how do you distribute 40,000 toothbrushes? Well, we got to Ybarra. We had distributed all of them in Quito. We had 10,000 left. These were in areas outside of Ybarra, which, like some of these clinics, were an hour away. So we went to the governor with a bottle of Maker's Mark and said, listen, I need some volunteers. And he said, well, you got your local dentist. He said, I got some friends in Qantas and Rotary. Can you use those? Absolutely. Red Cross, police, firemen, absolutely. We sent them out the next day. We went out into the field. It took us about 4 or 5 hours to distribute 10,000 toothbrushes with all that help. I went, wow, you got a lot of volunteers. You can get a lot done. And I parked that right back in my subconscious. Second thing we added was fluoride varnish. There was some research came out in 2002 by Marinho that said, I found 46% drop in decay using fluoride varnish. And so in permanent teeth. And I said, well, that's good enough for me. I'm gonna add that in. But we were still in a clinical situation because with sealants, you've got to have air suction and water, right? And so we added the fluoride varnish in there. At the same time, there's a new material on the market. It was discovered by Dr. Ming Tung. He's a researcher, a Chinese researcher, discovered ACP, amorphous calcium phosphate. Well, calcium and phosphate, that's what makes up our enamel, right? Remineralization was on its way. And it's pretty exciting stuff. Discovered that in 1992. It took a long time to get that into a dental material. And so in 2007, I just happened to notice there's a fluoride varnish with ACP, and I ordered it up, and I took it into my clinics. And they said, well, wait a minute. We haven't used up all the material you had before. You know, we still have fluoride varnish we haven't used. And we used two different types of fluoride varnish early, and I wasn't really impressed with either one of them that much. But I wanted to try this stuff, and so I pulled that subconscious up, and I said, wait a minute. I'm going back to the governor and go get me some volunteers. So we had 62 volunteers show up that next day. We gathered up all the material that wasn't used out of the dental clinics. We had the dentist go with us. We went into these outlying clinics and we placed every bit of that fluoride varnish in one day. So what does the ADA say if you're doing a school-based program? Under 6 years of age, and you're doing a school-based program, if you're doing preschool through first grade, that's your under six. Now, this is a conservative organization, guys, and if they recommend no fluoride other than fluoride varnish, then if you're doing a school program, this is what you need to be considering. In Kentucky and Ecuador, low-risk patients, they don't exist in Kentucky. I don't know about your old state, but they don't exist there. We're mostly moderate risk and high risk. So what do? Fluoride varnish twice a year. Fluoride varnish four times a year. So we brought this material into Ecuador use. And one of the reasons we selected a fluoride varnish with ACP is that this research here shows that you get four times absorption of fluoride using the ACP technologies as compared to the tricalcium phosphate, 2.5 times around lesioned enamel. So that was good enough for me. And then you add in there the remineralization component. It's a no-brainer for me. And so we went to work. Now our dental health initiative, we changed our entire model. And that's what you have to do with programs when you're working in third world. If something doesn't work as well, you change your model. The government clinics are all doing sealants now, which came out of our initial program. So now our program is fluoride varnish, oral hygiene education, and toothbrush kits. And we're still on the move, 2014. We do community outreach for West Kentucky University study abroad students. We've got two groups. One comes in January, one comes in March. I don't go for a week. I go for 3 months. And we treat 16,000 kids now in 19 communities. Where do we work? Anywhere that doesn't have access to health care, that's where we go. We work in the rainforest. We work on the coast with the Afro-Ecuadorians. And we work with the indigenous peoples in the highlands. This photograph was taken by a Red Cross photographer, and he gave it to me, and I sent it to Gary Charlstein. He's the CEO of the company that makes our material. And initially when we had this material, it was real yellow on the teeth. So I sent him, and I said, Gary, we're going to need your help. We're painting these kids' teeth, and we're getting some real weird side effects. And so it was kind of a joke. He loved it, so he wrote back, and he said, that's great. I got to have that photograph. I'm going to put it up in my office. And we didn't realize that this was going to take serious, and we were going to need his help. December 24, 2014, New York Times had an article on Christmas Day. I'm reading this. New York Times Online, Kentucky's placed last in the nation for dental health of his children. A general 50% decay rate across the state. And I don't know how the rest of the dentists in Kentucky felt, but I was pretty ashamed of the fact that we were the lowest in the nation. Usually Mississippi's down there below us, for God's sake. But no, we were there at the bottom. And so that afternoon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a phone call. And it was from one of my friends. He's a banker, runs a local community foundation. He said, listen, my son just came in from San Francisco. And he said, he brought this New York Times and he laid it on the desk and said, he didn't even say Merry Christmas, for God's sake. He said, you got a community foundation? He said, yeah, we still got it. He said, you got money in there? Yes. He said, fix this. And so he called me up that afternoon, Christmas Day. We're making plans. And he gave us a 5-year grant to buy all the material we needed to do a volunteer program in my hometown of Clark County, Kentucky. We formed a partnership with the Clark County Community Foundation, the Clark County Health Department. The schools had to obviously be involved. Winchester Dental Society and our local dentist, our dedicated staff. What do you say about those guys? And what was our program? We started out doing a DMFS survey to establish a baseline of our need. We completed that every year so we could measure against that baseline to see if we were having any luck. We did oral exams every year, and we would send reports home if you had decay. 2 days later, we did the school nurses under the health departments, and Scott Lockhart is here, but he was one of our partners. The school nurses would do a 2-day follow-up, and 2 weeks later, we would do another follow-up. Did Johnny get that appointment, and why not? Let's get that tooth fixed. We do not want to lose this permanent tooth. We did two fluoride varnish, the ADA recommendations, on preschool through fifth grade. Why do we select this particular group? That's when the permanent teeth come in the mouth. And then we provided toothbrush kits to every kid in the Clark County school system. That's 6,000 kids. We got 3,000 kids in our preschool fifth grade program. Everybody got a toothbrush in our school system. And toothpaste. They got that kit every single year. They got a new one. And that was part of our program. And then, of course, the same thing as we did in Ecuador. We developed an educational model, and we put that into the educational curriculum in our schools, and that's going forward. What about our volunteers? We got 19 dentists in our community, and they all are volunteering in our program. 12 of those are dental team leaders. Dental team leaders were responsible for going into the community, getting other volunteers to help them. And who were these volunteers? No dental experience. We wanted people in the community to be involved in this program and be invested in it. And so we got people from every walk of life, and we got those persons for one reason. They were excited about it. They were doing something tangible to help their community and these kids and change their community. And so what did they do? They went into their churches and parties and everything else, and they talked about our program. They educated our community about our program. And so I don't know how many times that I was in a grocery store and heard people talking about it. And so our program got a lot of experience. Our local paper, you know, articles all the time, what do you say about that? They're big supporters. We've developed a guide that's available in booth 724. If you'll go there, and they'll swipe your card, and you'll get one free. It's got everything we did in the Clark County program to make it work. It's a cookbook. There's nothing that we did that's not in this book. We just published it, and so it's free to you. Go have your card swiped. 724. Write that number down, and they'll mail it to you. Okay. All right. Let's look at our results. We were right at the state average. I was hoping not. Well, we're different, right? Because we got a lot of dentists in our county. Well, 50.4% decay rate. How dismal was that? First year, we're down to 39%. Everybody's so excited. Scott Lockhart over there is jumping up and down. Oh, I thought we got down to 39%. 39% decay rate is dismal. And I wasn't too excited. But look at that drop the next year. What happened there? Well, initially we had to get parents to sign up because of fear of litigation. That's who we are. Fear of litigation. We'd send these things home. Maybe they got to the parents. Maybe they didn't, but a lot of them didn't get back. So we weren't seeing that many kids. And I thought, this isn't right. And so we had a new superintendent come in. I got a meeting the first day she was in office. And I went in and I said, listen, we got about 40,000 applications there in Ecuador. We got about, we got about 10 or 12 applications here. Why don't you go to an opt-out system? And we did, which meant that, what did that mean? Nobody's going to come into school and opt-out. They're just not going to do it. So we're seeing just about every kid in our program, all 3,000. And so look what happened when that happened. We did a nosedive down to 14%. The other thing is our dentist got involved in putting sealants on. We're up to 41.3% from about 10%, almost 11%. We're up to 41.3%. That's the national average. Our extraction's down. We had a little bump there, but that was all for ortho. And, of course, you can see our fillings going up for a reason. That all came from the exams. Anybody paying attention? This is a letter from the governor's wife. She called me initially and said, I want to know everything you're doing. Because she has her own school, her Kentucky Smiles school. She's got her own program. She's invested in oral health. And she says, I want to know what you're doing, see if you're having any success. We get 14%. She wrote a grant to the Appalachian Regional Commission, got $1 million. Her husband, the governor, kicked in another $200,000. So $1,200,000 went to the University of Kentucky. They're in eastern Kentucky now in 16 Appalachian counties, poorest counties in the country, copying our program. And that program is ongoing as we speak. And we're pretty excited about having her on board for sure. This past summer, we did an application with NACHO, which is National Association of City County Health Officials, and it was all peer-reviewed, and we were accepted as a 2003 Model Practice Award. That means that we're the national standard for all the health government health departments in the United States, and so we're pretty proud of that. We have just encouraged our Board of Dentistry to go to a public health hygienist. They just passed that back in August. It's just pretty exciting. We're following Minnesota on that. If there's anybody from Minnesota here, we're excited. And so, anyway, we appreciate your time, and thank you for your attention. If you want to have any questions, we're going to be at booth 724. Stop by, sign up for your pre-booklet, and we'll be there to answer any questions you have. So thank you very much.
We have 6 minutes for questions.